from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Yep, baby.
Good morning.
Yep.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. It is the Real World Money, and it's March the 28th, 2018. Oh, boy. Just rolls right along. The star of our show every Wednesday, that's today, in case you're lost, is Andrew Goss. And Andrew's a good friend I've known for a very long time, since the early 90s, when I saw him on a TV show and he rocked my world. And said, what? I called him up, and well, we've been kind of communicating and friends ever since. Started a radio show, invited him on KLBJ in 97. Remember that, Andrew Goss? 97? And we were on once a month there on KLBJ Radio in Austin.
How could I forget?
How could you forget? Yeah. And so here we are, 25 years later, and Andrew, tell you quickly, is a currency historian, and he has two books, Secret World of Money and Uncle Sam Cooks the Books, that are still out there. If you know Jeff Bezos' private email, you can probably get it through Amazon. Just call, email Jeff, he'll get it to you. And also working on a third book, he buys and sells gold coins for a living, numismatic coins. Don't call him up to tell me you want a kilo of gold. That you don't do that.
No, don't do that.
Where would you go if you wanted a kilo of gold? Would you know?
You'd probably go to one of the big bullion houses. Jay Aaron and Sons, a division of Goldman Sachs.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good. So, just for fun, if you had like a hunk of gold that we always see Mr. Putin's picture. I love it. They always keep putting that. I don't know why that is. I think they want to tell people they have a lot of gold, and they probably don't. If you had like a chunk of gold and people start running naked through the streets, like using your term, right? If the dollar just crashed, right?
Yeah.
Became worthless rather than worthless.
Right.
I mean, would that be a good thing that you had that chunk, or would you rather have coins? I mean, I know it's a dumb question asking a coin guy, but...
Well, of course
you'd rather have
coins. Both
would be good, right?
Both would be good. So the problem with the big bars is that nobody trusts them. You know, you look inside the middle, you might find sawdust, you know?
Yeah, I gotcha.
Kinda. You know, with the thin gold coins, with the reeded edge, you know you're getting what you paid for, usually.
Kind of like Man in the High Castle, you just don't know.
Don't know what's in the middle.
You just don't know what's in the middle of the thing. By the way, I'm season
like opening
two.
Like opening a box of chocolates at Valentine's Day. You know?
I'm on season two of that show, that Amazon thing. It's really good. It's getting better and better. And it's all about how the Japanese and the Nazis took over the country because they just tricked the people into believing that they won the war. I don't know how they filled it up.
It's a strange premise.
Yeah, it's a strange premise, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. Anyway, so if you'd like to be on the show, it is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Andrew talks mainly about the money and how it all works with the dollar and all that. And every now and then people ask for financial advice. He's not a financial planner or anything like that, but he can give you some ideas. Mm-hmm. Even though he's not licensed to do that
at all,
interest rates or stocks or stuff like that. But we muse about that from time to time. The phone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. So I was thinking to ask you, so with Netflix and Amazon and Hulu and Google and I don't know who else, I mean, how can we just go short Hollywood? Because, maybe they're going to... You know, I think they're going through a whole, I think it started with the Weinstein thing, and now it's just, have you seen some of the numbers about people going to the theaters? It's like, why would you open a theater anymore?
Well, you can make it into a bowling alley.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, 14 lanes, right? 14
lanes. Right.
Yeah. So, but this delivery, it's going to be good for content providers, right, if you want to be a big movie producer.
Well, yeah.
Stuff like that, right?
Well, more independent films will get made. you know, before it was so expensive to get a movie into a movie theater,
oh, man,
that they didn't take a chance on anyone.
Yeah.
And so you had to already be someone before they would give you the money to make a movie.
Uh-huh.
Now you're getting all kinds of independent film producers that are making good quality.
Good stuff, film. Right?
Yeah. Look at you're looking at The Man in the High Castle. You can't see that in a theater.
No.
You can't see it on regular television.
Yeah.
So this content is the name of the game, content. Like in The Graduate, plastics.
Plastics, remember that movie?
And so the delivery of this content to the average consumer, the bar to entry has been lowered.
Yes.
Right?
So huge, right?
Right, when you needed to put a movie in front of the public in the past and you had to go through a guy like Harvey.
Yeah, or whatever.
Who knows what the toll was.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sit on my couch over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I'll talk to you. And you couldn't even get in to see him anyway. And, you know, they didn't.
Yeah, there was a toll for that, too.
There was a toll for that, sure.
Yeah, just to talk to him.
So do you think, though, that what do you think that's going to happen as people watch more of these things like on iPhones? That's going to change the game too, isn't it?
Yeah, from broadcast to pincast, right?
That's called, I knew you would know about it. Pincast is what it's called?
Yeah.
What does that mean, pincast?
Well, think of a pinpoint. Yeah. Instead of just blowing your movie out on channel 3 so that, you know, even the aliens can pick it up in space, you pinpoint the cast to the person that really wants to see it.
And I see.
In some instances, willing to pay for it.
Uh-huh.
So imagine scheduling your own, every person becomes a scheduling manager at a TV station.
Whoa.
What do you want to watch today, honey? I don't know. Let's set up our schedule for, you know, whatever we're going to watch or whatever we like to follow.
That's where it's right?
Yeah, and then that particular broadcast will be pincast to your machine, and only your machine at the time. You want your show to start at 9:17.
Really?
And that's when it'll start, you know, not at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll assure.
And then people like Zuckerberg could sell the list of movies you like because of your post, and then that's I'm just kidding.
No, you're not.
I'm just poor.
No, you're not.
Poor Zach. Okay,
yeah,
before we get into to that, just for fun, because I know you're a privacy secrecy monster. You have been for years, and I'd like to get your opinion on the whole Facebook thing.
Oh, sure. Did you see the movie on Zuckerberg?
I
the Winklevoss twins.
No, I didn't.
They sued him because they said he would say one thing and then do something else.
You mean the Social Network, that movie?
Yes.
Oh, sure. Movie. I saw that one a bunch of times. Yeah.
So you saw the personality of the person that we were dealing with. So is it a surprise that he did the same thing to everyone on Facebook? No. He told you your goods were private.
2009. He said, we will never sell.
Signed a consent decree. And
we will never sell your stuff.
Just turned right around and did exactly the opposite of that. And if you watch social media, that's what he was accused of doing from the moment, you know, just putting everybody on the back burner except for himself.
We put an interview on our website with the Zuck all about this, and poor guy. He was having a hard time just even getting his head around what was going on.
I understand
it was
why.
Really interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
Yeah. What do they call it? Tone deaf. I understand. Yeah. He just doesn't get it. I understand why he's building a wall around his house on his island in Hawaii there, because that's probably a good place for him to go. Make the wall about 2 feet higher and just hang out there.
Well, the old fangs are in free fall. We have Facebook, Amazon.
What?
Netflix.
150 times earning for Amazon? You think that's too much? You remember? I remember when they weren't making any money. So it's just fashionable now.
It
makes
even matter,
no
right?
sense. 150 times earnings is what Amazon sells for. 150. Could it be 75? Well, yeah, that would mean the price would have to fall in half. Could it be $37.50 and still be double and a half what everything else is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could. So, I mean, that stock could literally go down by 75% and still not meet the metrics that a value investor would put on something if they were buying it. You know, they were saying, oh, this sells for 15 times earnings or 12 times earnings. All right, that's a good value, Warren Buffett type.
Right.
But 150 times earnings, folks. These stocks have just blown out beyond all proportion. And as people stop for a minute and look and say, what do I own here?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is it that I bought? What is in my portfolio? And you'd be surprised how many people don't do that. But at the end of the day, when they do, they're going to realize that there's very speculative value in a stock like Amazon.
Well, you know, Jeff is probably drinking a lot of coffee this morning. Well, I don't think he cares. He's lost $4.6 billion in the last 2 days.
It doesn't matter.
And the Zuck really lost $3
billion. Yeah, it doesn't
actually
matter.
Even Warren is down a billion and a half. And so
Billion here, billion there.
Pretty soon you're talking about real money. Isn't it pretty ridiculous when you talk about that? It's just zeros, isn't it, Nan?
It is. Yeah.
It's just zeros.
And when you get to the point of $1 billion, really.
That's $1,000 million, right?
Right, that's correct. Then, I mean, really, how much do you need? As what was that line from Wall Street? I think it was, how many yachts do you need to water ski behind, Gordon? Mm-hmm. I mean, how many? What's enough? So I have no sympathy for a $10 billion guy losing $1 billion. Okay. Mm-hmm. No. You should be spending that on just bettering yourself and your life and the things that you do around you. So I no sympathy.
How do you even get worth $124 billion? That's what Bezos is theoretically worth.
Yeah.
But see, his thing is
because
never
people
made any
value
money.
That's right. People value your enterprise at 150 times its earnings.
Wow.
The valuation
that's it.
Is way out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it.
You know, if you consider that, again, that's 10 times more than it should be. And Bezos should probably be worth $12 billion.
Mm-hmm. President Trump's out there, and he's just really PO'd about the deal that Amazon got with the post office. First off, he says, this is crazy. What kind of deal was that?
Well, it's the kind of deal that the Rockefellers used to make with members of their cartel, where you could ship stuff cheaper than everybody else.
Yeah.
And that's allowed his consortium to undercut the competition.
Was that a long-term deal with the PO, I wonder?
It's probably, again, the same kind of deal. Look it up. Rockefeller and the rebate rates on shipping oil.
They always do this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was his model. So this allows the beast to compete with the typical small seller and have costs that are lower. When your input costs are lower. Hey, that's that Ricardo comparative advantage thing I've been hearing so much about. The idea that if somebody else can make something cheaper, you should just let them make it cheaper and focus on what you do. This is what all the economists are telling us, why tariffs are bad.
Hmm. Somebody can do it cheaper, just...
Let them do it cheaper.
Doesn't really matter. Boy, and the president's out there and talking now about, if we can use the Kennedy quote, scattering Amazon in 1,000 pieces. He said they are... What's the word? What's
behemoth?
What's the word when you got too much stuff and they want to break you up? What's that word?
I don't know.
You know what that word is. When you're
antitrust.
Antitrust kind of thing, right? You know, like
the trust buster was Teddy Roosevelt, the original trust buster.
What did he bust?
Well, they splintered. You remember the phone company?
I do. When they used to work.
Yeah, that was much later. But Teddy broke up all the money trust. You had the oil trust.
Did he now?
His Standard Oil was his famous.
Well, Mr. Trump's out there, and of course he doesn't like Bezos because the Washington Post hate Donald Trump, and Jeff owns the Washington Post, and you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So there's no love lost between these guys. But, I don't know. Does it matter if a guy like Bezos can buy the drone company or whatever he buys? I mean, do you care? Does anybody care? I mean, he's allowed to do that, right?
Sure he is. And does it matter that he has more money than the Treasury?
Well, speaking of them, Treasury's having a bad day. They are $300 billion, short this week.
That's what they need to borrow.
This
week.
That's
$300 billion. This week, they're borrowing $300
billion. Aren't they getting tax money in now? What's the deal?
And they need $300 billion.
What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Woo.
Exponential growth. It's a wonderful thing, right? It's exponential growth.
So the president's going to do the guns and butter thing, right?
What's his choice? He's going to fix the roads. He's going to buy a bunch of guns.
Right?
Do the wall. All of it. Going to do all of it. And going to do
and
it
cut
all
taxes,
of it.
Right? Cut taxes.
Cut taxes.
Yeah, sure.
Hey. Okay. A trillion and a half is going to be the deficit this year. But if you look at you know, but Donald Trump, if you look at him throughout his life, this is how he's
sure.
built everything he's built on company, other right? people's money. He didn't really put up his own money. And I think he feels the same about the United States. Mm-hmm. So we don't need to put our own money into the game. We can borrow other people's money and make America great again.
But you've told us that, what's the number, 76 cents out of every dollar is for
78
debt. 78. Is for principal and interest on the debt, which is that
servicing
number,
the debt. Yeah,
that number just boggles my mind.
So and it should. It
78
should.
Cents of every mm-hmm. dollar that
collected
gov, that we send in our taxes.
That's right.
Right.
That everybody sends.
That everybody in, sends yeah. and goes to debt service.
Servicing the debt. Yeah.
Wow.
Scary number.
Now that number's not really gonna go down.
No,
is
it just went up. It goes
it
up.
To, it can't go down, really. Can't.
Right. Unless
you start
the national debt goes down or the revenue goes up. So this is, from Donald's perspective, is if we increase payrolls, which remember, with payroll tax, that's 80% plus of the revenue we collect.
Yeah.
Only 9% comes from corporate taxes. The 80% is payroll taxes. And so if you increase that, increase the number of people on the payroll, that are paying that payroll tax, why then you'll see a boost, a dramatic boost in revenues, which will drop that number from 78, maybe back down to 77 or 76.
So, in your opinion, Andrew Goss, is that, by the way, join the show, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com, question or comment. So will that trickle-up thing work for you bring more stuff in here and let Carrier build their ACs here rather than Mexico because of corporate tax cuts? Is that going to increase the payroll to make this thing all kind of come out on paper and say, well, we did pretty good?
Of course, yeah. See, if they're building Carrier air conditioners in Mexico,
yeah,
then Mexico gets the tax from the individual, the income tax,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
Because they're building and doing the work in Mexico. So the payroll tax is paid to the Mexican government. So this has really been a problem for the United States. And although people like to say that we're at full employment, we don't have any more people to put to work, that's absolutely absurd.
That's not true.
That's absurd.
What is there, 100 million people?
Off the books.
Off
not
the
even
books that are working, or that are work age, okay, like
yeah,
below
yeah.
65 or something.
That's right. Yeah. And 65,
yeah,
that's a youngster.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on, what?
Yeah.
65?
65, yeah.
I remember when we used to think we were going to retire when we're 60.
That's absurd.
You know, now I look at like maybe 100, I might get around to sitting around a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, why would you want to?
Why would you want to anyway? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's something you can do. Do it.
Might as well.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Watch Netflix all day? Eat Cheetos? You know?
Eat Cheetos and watch Netflix. And then get on your rolly cart and go down to, I don't know.
Anyway. That's true. Well, speaking of that, I recall back in the 60s when we were told, I remember the number too, I think it was $605 that I would get when I retired.
Retired, that's right. right.
And so I thought about that, and I think I was at the time paying $100 a month for my apartment. Mm-hmm. My car payment was
$3,000 was your whole car.
My whole car was $3,000, and I think my
that new Maserati
car payment was like $60. It was a lot of money.
Yeah, that new Maserati has a monthly lease.
Yeah, yeah.
That exceeds the entire price of the car.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
great. So anyway, though, so now here I am with, a house payment, which is like, $2,000. And my social, I don't know what I get, but it's not that much. I don't get that much. I think $1,500 a month, you know?
Right.
So something didn't work out. I mean, yeah. see, you know what I'm saying? The proportions are not the same. I mean,
yes.
So I had 605 coming, and my rent was going to be maybe 1/6 of that.
Well,
now my cost me to live is 1.5 times what I get.
Correct.
So what went wrong there? I mean,
what went wrong? You didn't know what a gallon was.
Oh, I didn't know what a dollar was.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. They changed the value. So the way our forefathers established the Constitution was that the coins were intended to be our canary in the coal mine, right?
Oh, our go-to thing, right?
Right.
We had these coins, and that was it, and nobody's
right.
changing
but
that.
But if they got smaller,
mm-hmm.
Well, then you knew that the standard value of a dollar changed. If they got bigger, same thing. You knew that the dollar was getting stronger. So the coins that they put into the circulatory stream, our check, if you will, our balance, was all based on a certain standard, a quantity of silver or gold per dollar. And until 1971, we knew what that was. And after 1971, they changed it without telling us. And it's been that way ever since.
Well, the president went on TV and said you can't. Right, you can't.
Hoard the silver. Yeah. You can't. Yeah, you can't hoard gold. You can't. Let's see. You can't convert your dollars back into gold at a fixed rate. So from now on, we're not telling you how many dollars we've issued versus how much gold we have. From now on, you have to guess. And it's been a guessing game ever since. So we're trying to guess what the future value of a dollar will be. And we've
who
been
knows?
Wrong. Most of us have been wrong when
who
it comes to
knew?
Retirement planning.
Yeah, who knows? Can you even conjecture what these kids who are 25 or 30 now, like I was, and what they're going to be looking at 40 years is when they're 70 or something. You know, I mean,
all I know
is
that
they're going to be looking at
in the early 90s, mid 90s, when I was telling people, like a person with my hair on fire, that gold was going to be $1,000 an ounce. More people than not thought this kid's nuts. This kid's out of his mind.
He's crazy.
And now we're at the bottom of the gold market. We're looking at 13, 40, or 50, whatever it is today, and that's the bottom, folks. It's already hit 1900. I was off by a full, well, anyway.
Yeah, it really is the bottom, because no matter what it does, up, and it's really been moving a lot, as you know, 5, 10, 20, 30
volatile.
Bucks a day. Just
very
boom, 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 up and down. It's down 13 bucks this morning. It was up the other day. It was up like 20 bucks. But this really is the bottom. It just doesn't look like it's going to go any.
No, I think we saw the bottom at 1080.
You think
that's
the 1080, bottom? Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What has been my experience through the years is that it was the low became what was the previous peak.
Mm-hmm.
So my $1,000 gold became the low after it hit its 1900s. Overshoots on that side and then plummets back to somewhere where it should be. And right now, I think gold is fairly priced. However, given that the national debt just hit $21 trillion, and you know what, folks? It'll be $22 trillion by summer.
Oh, yeah.
Frightening. We're at a pace now, that quickening, as Art Bell called it, where things, I mean, look at a $300 billion treasury refunding in a single week. As I pointed out before, $12 trillion is due and payable under President Trump's first term. And even at $300 billion a week, not counting current spending, how long do you think they can sustain? They can't. They cannot. It's unsustainable.
Well, $300 billion a week, I mean, that doesn't even calculate to $1.5 trillion in the hole. I mean, maybe they're just kind of short right now.
Yeah, they're kind of short right now.
Well,
exactly.
I guess it makes sense. So isn't this a time just before April 15th where people waiting the 15th to pay, right?
Oh, they send that money in like by the shovel load.
Do they?
Yeah.
I guess people do, right? Yeah.
And there is that. But if you look at it in terms of what our needs are, if you have 60% of the national debt due and payable in the first 5 years from when we discussed that, which was President Trump's election, so for within 5 years from that date, 2021, we have to refund or pay off and reborrow $12 trillion. And that was at the levels before President Trump took
over. So let's go through that a second. So you have, I got that number, November 16 to November 21, 5 years, 60% of 21 is about 12, right?
No, it was 60% of 20.
20, okay.
Right, because we were at 19 and high change when President Obama left.
So we have $12 trillion. So that means that this debt is coming due, or in other words, somebody with the treasury bonds says, just give me my money.
Well, that it comes due.
Right.
There's really
they just want all their money because they've been getting interest for, right?
It's matured. It's matured.
Okay, it's matured. So where's that 12 going to come from?
They have to borrow it from another guy.
No, you just can't borrow more and just pay that.
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah.
But that would mean that this administration is going to have to borrow 12 in the next 5 years?
Yes.
No.
At least.
I mean, that's going to be more than President Obama tracked at debt, right?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And
he's going to be called a big spender by the Dems, boy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which
he is
being called now, anyway.
And, you know, I mean, he went along with the Dems.
On this
100%, yeah, on this.
Well, let's go back there. So you're saying that these $12 trillion, they're going to actually create more debt.
They have to.
Yeah, they have to. They'll create more debt to pay off the 12T.
Correct.
Because these are coming due, and people say, give me my money.
Yeah.
I've loaned you $1 million for the last 10 years, and I want my money.
Well, we wish it was tens, but you know what President Obama did was that short-term borrowing situation where he financed the national debt by putting it all on the credit card.
So, good for him.
It was all short maturities.
Well, of course, Mr. Mnuchin and Mr. Trump know this. I mean,
they do.
Yeah,
yep.
they know this.
Stephen Mnuchin has proposed a 50-year bond for the United States, which we need to start borrowing money on the long end instead of on the short end.
No. Well, I would do that. I'd lend him money at 20%.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
50. I mean, you couldn't do it under 20%. You'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right?
That
wouldn't even make sense, would it?
You have no understanding of the value of money. Oh, you don't know what a gallon is.
Yeah, you have no idea, right?
Here, we'll pay you back a gallon. Here's a thimbleful. You know, it's like, okay.
Okay.
Here's a gallon. How much do we owe you? 10 gallons? Oh, okay. Get your old quart bottle. We'll fill it up for you.
That's a great analogy.
It is.
It is, really. Wow. Man. Yeah. Well, it's pretty strange. We are in it's a brave new world. Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone. It is the Real World of Money. We have some good emails, some great tabs open. We'll talk about a lot of cool things in regards to money, but your opinion and your questions are very welcome. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. You don't understand any of the silliness we're talking about. Just come in and say, what do you mean by that? And our 888-663-6386. It is about 30 minutes after the hour, March 28th.
Hi, my name is Stephen Holstein. In my 20s, I abused stimulants and anabolic steroids to the point where my adrenal glands were shot. I suffered from extreme fatigue and an inability to handle stress. For over 6 years, I had been taking adrenal supplements including herbs, glandulars, vitamin C, and vitamin B5. All these supplements did was treat the symptoms and produced only minimal results. Now, just after 1 month on Synergy One and ADR Medics, I truly feel rejuvenated. I have never felt such relaxation before from any adrenal supplement as I did just 10 minutes after taking ADR Medics. I then noticed Synergy One made me wake up rested and with much more energy. No more hungover, groggy feeling upon arising. I had almost considered going to another country for stem cell therapy as a last resort, but now I truly feel rejuvenated on Synergy One and ADR Medics.
Success happens with synergistic nutrition. Click on the One World Way banner ad right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
If you'd like to try some of our sulfur that people really love, they love it. They just love it. We like it. We like it. Is simply go on the website and you can order 2 pounds, United States, Canada, or worldwide. And that would be a nice way to do it. Or you can just get your 2 pounds and try it out. And if you'd like more than 4 pounds, email me, Patrick at One Radio Network, let me know how many pounds you want, and I'll give you a discount. We're going to have this fellow on the show next Monday. His name is Dr. Rich Olry, and he was the source for a really great book called Minerals for the Genetic Code, and he was actually wrote this book with Charles Walters, who published the book. He was actually the source for all this information. And Mr. Olry writes, and we're going to talk to him about it next week. He says a new paper came out describing how to regenerate telomeres. And telomeres are what you can get measured if you got nothing else to do with a few $100 and see what your biological age is, right? You can just do that. And so telomeres tell you what your biological age is. And that's kind of new technology the last 5 years or so. You'll see a lot of things out there saying, take this or lay on this carpet and you'll lengthen your telomeres. And when they released the sequence, it was the language, he writes, provided by minerals in the genetic code. It only consisted of 6 letters. Well, isn't that fun? 6 letters. And when I went through the program, it indicates that chlorine and sulfur are the two most important minerals for regenerating the telomeres after genetic activity. Whoa, isn't that pretty interesting? Sulfur seems to be possibly a link between iodine in relation to the three burners and chlorine gallbladder. It's kind of geeky, but he's suggesting that sulfur is the key deal here to keep us young and pretty. Well, Patrick, the sulfur guy, has said that the boys and girls both get cuter when you take sulfur. Maybe that's one of the reasons. So why don't you try it and just email me if you'd like more than 4 pounds, or try 2 pounds on oneradionetwork.com. You'll see the ad.
Transforming your body to the shape and size you desire and feeling good at the same time just got a whole lot easier. The new frontier of human nutrition will be to focus upon the effects foods and herbs have upon the epigenetic portion of our DNA. Epigenetics teaches us that cells can be signaled to perform in a much younger manner. These signals can come from biochemicals in food or from frequencies generated from thoughts and feelings from yourself or others. One World Way uses high-quality milk derived from Amish pastured cows. It is processed to protect the proteins from damage and deliver the optimal epigenetic signals to all the cells of your body.
My name is Daniel. I'm 34 years old. When I started using One World Way, I weighed 228 pounds. Now, after 2.5 months, I weigh 182 pounds. This is my ideal weight. I've noticed an increase in stamina, rate of recovery from workouts, and an increase in my potency.
You can order One World Way here at OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the source. One Radio Network. To talk to Patrick, call 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Here's Patrick.
Well, you don't want to talk to me. What do I know? But Andrew Goss knows a lot of stuff. You can talk to him at 888-663-6386. For our listeners who are thinking about purchasing a home now, next week, next month, next year, you want to put on your Karnak hat. What do we see with long-term interest rates? What's the deal now, Andrew? Is it about 4.5%, something like that?
Yeah, they've settled back a bit. It's not as dramatic as it was a month ago.
Yeah, yeah.
When the 10-year Treasury looked like it was going to breach 3%. And it did a few times.
So what do you think? A year from now, what could it possibly be?
Safely 1 point higher.
One point higher. So
safely.
So it's never going to be. Do you think
we saw the lowest of the low,
and you don't think we're going to be down there again for a long time?
Long, long.
Like how long? Like 10 like, years? 20 years?
Yeah, decade or more.
Really? Yeah. So those 3% that we saw, what was it, 5 years ago?
Less, three. Like
3 years ago? Yeah. They're 3% 30-year fixed.
Sub 4% was what I was calling.
Sub 4%. You don't think we're going to see these for a long, long time?
No, long time. They're hanging around for another month or two.
Yeah.
Which is why I was screaming at everyone to refinance.
Yeah, right.
You know, refinance. But even if you just strip the equity out and park it in your checking account, you'd be better off than to leave it sitting in the, well.
I want to get you a little closer to Mike, just a little bit closer.
Your prime asset for most people is their home, right? And having it paid for, I don't see. Well, there's that certain appeal of, oh, my mortgage is paid.
So,
but you don't own the house, so what's the point?
So if somebody owes, say, $100,000 on their home, and it's worth $200,000, okay, on the books, so you say you could actually
strip that equity,
strip it out there, put the money, the extra $100,000, in your checking account.
Yeah. It's actually 80 because they'll only give you 80% of the loan to value.
No, you're wrong.
No,
You don't have a job or you don't have an income tax, you can get 100%. I'm just kidding.
Well, that's a purchase mortgage, perhaps. But an equity cash out, you know, where you're stripping the equity of your home, they're a lot more careful with those than they are with a purchase.
But see, I don't see how that works. So say your payments, just for fun, say your payments are 1,000. That's just two round numbers. Okay. Say your payments are $1,000 on your home right now. You take out about $75,000 in equity, and your payments go to $2,000, right?
But they don't.
Oh, they don't. How high do they go?
Well, you know, you take a typical person that was at a 5, 5.5, 5.65, right? That was kind of the going rate 5 or 6 or 8 years ago.
Right.
And they took one of those mortgages, and then 4 or 5 years went by and rates went down to where they could get a sub 4% mortgage. In many instances, you were getting the new mortgage for half of what your old mortgage was.
Not with the extra money, though.
No, we're not talking about money. Oh. We're talking about the cost of the money.
Yeah. Okay.
So what it used to cost you $1,000 to service $100,000 debt.
Okay.
Now with $1,000, you can service $150,000, $175,000
really?
Debt.
Really?
Yeah. A dramatic difference.
So you,
and so stripping out the equity, I have several that I could point to where my customers almost doubled the amount of their mortgage. So they got an equal amount in cash, and their payments did not increase. In fact, in one case, went down $20.
And you could take the extra money and buy gold coins if you want.
You can take the extra money and
buy
whatever you want. Buy the house next door or, you know, whatever you want to do. I don't think you should destroy the capital.
Oh, I was thinking like go to Aruba and have little drinks with the umbrellas in it.
That's how you destroy the capital.
I see. Yeah. You don't want to do that.
No, you don't change your lifestyle with borrowed money.
Yeah.
No, you can't do that. You have to continue living as you are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for many people, what we were facing was a deficit each month. So I'm paying my mortgage, but I'm getting, you described your situation where your money in doesn't cover your outlay. And so we become more and more frugal and we start doing without things. And that's absurd for a person in the, later years of their life. So I say strip the equity of the mortgage, put that cash in your checking account and set yourself, okay, I'm short $300 a month. So every month I'm going to eat 300 of this principal. But I'm not going to starve to death. You know, that's kind of the, So, that rate, how long could you last? If you sit down and put a pen to paper and say, how long could I continue using $300 or $400 a month of my principal? This is what an actuary does. And it's, in fact, what you do when you get to your retirement age. And, okay, how much money do we have? And if we take this much a month, how long will it last? And that's the way you view your home equity. If I just took $75,000, I'm going to spend $300 a month. How many months can I last? You'll find probably longer than you need to.
So at 4.5%, I guess it's still depending on where you are, could make sense to buy the home next to you that goes vacant and then rent it out. Maybe
it could.
It just depends on
possibly.
The numbers, right?
And it depends on where you are. And whether or not rental is a big deal where you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, in certain parts of the country, you can't find a rental for any price. So supply and demand kind of dictate the move there.
Yeah. 888-663-6386. Email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Steve writes in, just like the war on cancer, poverty, the war on drugs is a failure, and doing it for the children will not keep people from getting it. Indeed, it may increase the chances that it is stuck in the kids' faces. If it was legal anyway, tell them to watch this and the real reasoning behind Nixon's war on drugs. Oh, they sent a video.
Yeah.
They always do that. They send me videos and we can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So the war on drugs and the war on poverty and the war on this and that to the email was kind of
phony.
It's never really done anything. So maybe President Trump's war on illegal immigration is also phony?
No, I think that's very real. Isn't that very real? He's building a wall.
Well, that's what he says. Did you see the latest here? He thought that maybe the military could build it. We could just take $5 billion out of that super budget we just gave them and build the wall.
I think he had planned that all along.
You think so?
Yeah.
That rascal. There's a method to his madness.
Dude,
It's so funny that people, they write about these lefties about how crazy he is. He's got to be impeached. He doesn't know what he's doing. And I don't know. The more I look at him, the more I think he knows exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, they must be apoplectic. He, sent home 60 Russians. You look at all the sanctions at all the countries. Even Great Britain didn't send home 60. And, of course, he's too soft. Oh, no, that's not enough.
Yeah.
He needs to slap Putin a little harder. Let's provoke a war. The most dovish among us, let's disarm everyone and then poke Russia in the eye. Really? Does that make sense to anyone? Oh, we're totally opposed to people owning weapons, but we want to provoke the Russians until they, submit? I don't think they will.
Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, 888-663-6386, email patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. You have been a proponent and supporter of the Second Amendment, the mm-hmm. right to bear arms, for a very, very long time. So
uphold and defend the Constitution.
I just read some headlines. I don't read the stories, but what I see out there, it's just kind of bonkers of what's going on with this whole thing since the Florida deal.
Sure.
Who do you think's behind this, and what do you, in your opinion, where do you think this is all going? Anywhere?
You want my opinion?
Yeah, I want your opinion.
Oh, goodness.
No, I mean, who do you think's behind this whole get the gun thing? Is it the boys?
Yeah.
At some level?
Hey, you know, it's been expressed throughout our history that invading us would be very difficult because there's 300 million guns in the United States.
I don't know.
Some ridiculous number.
Yeah.
It's absurd how many guns we have. There are those that would have us take those guns away, because now that we've already attained our freedom, we don't need the Second Amendment anymore. We don't really need it. So remember, that's what it was, folks. It had nothing to do with target practice or hunting. It had everything to do with, once your politicians support tyranny and, in fact, become tyrannical, then it's your duty to rise up and put them down. And that's why we have the Second Amendment. It wasn't so that we could go hunting. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with ensuring the other rights. An armed citizenry is the only way to assure that the powers that be will respect your rights. Otherwise, why would they respect you at all?
And
that's why they gave us the Second Amendment.
That's why they did.
So by taking it away, then, you know, it becomes easier to swallow when you're forced to do something that you would otherwise revolt over. So I think the powers that be expect a revolution. I really think they do. They've trapped the majority of Americans into debt slavery, right? And what do slaves do when they feel like they're slaves? They revolt. That's what they do.
They get mad as hell and can't take it anymore,
right? Just don't take it anymore.
That's what they do.
And they go and free themselves. So
you really think the boys are just, they would like to see all of these weapons with, you know, all the weapons you really need.
Military style.
Yeah, the military style weapons.
The ones that you really need.
The ones that you would need if you really had to defend yourself.
If you're going
head to
head with the military. Yes, exactly. Yeah, you know, a standing army has absolutely no chance against an armed citizenry. That's just the way it is.
Well, yeah, you're kind of talking like the idea of Hitler and...
first thing he did.
Switzerland, right? And it would be like the army coming into Dripping Springs with all the hills and people, you know, they were all up there in trees and nooks and crannies where they didn't know.
Behind every wall.
Well, just like what happened with Russia and Afghanistan.
Just like what happened with the Minutemen.
The British Army
marched up to Lexington and Concord to seize the powder magazine. All the way back to Boston. There was a gun behind every wall, every tree, every bush.
That's what the whole Minuteman thing was about, right?
Yes, that's right.
And that's why is that story true, why Hitler didn't go in and try to get the gold from
Switzerland?
From Switzerland, because he knew?
Oh, yeah.
Because
he knew. A, the access was blocked and limited.
Yeah.
And B, everybody was in the army. Everybody.
And they all had a rifle, right?
Has a rifle and
they knew
bullets.
How to shoot it.
Yes.
Shoot.
Yeah.
So you go walking these Nazis up the road, man, they're just going to get picked off, right?
Well, that was the theory. Yeah. And it's the same reason that the Japanese didn't just invade the mainland, right? That was what their plan was. And I believe it was Admiral Yamamoto.
Which mainland? What were they going to?
The west coast of the United States.
The Japanese one?
Sure.
When?
Yeah.
When?
Well, they were discussing their battle plans right after Pearl Harbor, before Pearl Harbor. And the thinking among the Japanese war makers was that you can't invade the United States.
They all have guns.
They all have guns, exactly. It was the same logic for Switzerland.
Oh, I thought the Pearl Harbor thing was just a big false flag, though, wasn't it?
Let it happen, make it happen, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Make it happen. A false flag is when you do something.
Oh, I see.
And you blame on someone else. So if you let something happen, that's different.
That's different.
Yeah.
Kind of
so
like
that's
9/11.
Not quite a false flag.
Kind of like 9/11.
So kind of like 9/11. Say that one more time.
Kind of like 9/11.
Kind of like 9/11.
Because they knew it was. I see. So if you just let it happen.
If you just let it happen and you don't do anything to stop it, and then you use, kind of like, well, let's say take all the metal detectors off of your schools, and or don't put them on there, and make your schools gun-free zones where no one can have a gun. You know, prior to those gun-free school zones, although we didn't know it, there were people in the school that had guns on them. Custodians, teachers. I'm not saying that you have to arm every teacher, but if a teacher is proficient in the use of firearms and brings one to school, what's the big deal? It wasn't a big deal when I was a kid, but suddenly, man, oh, gun, that's evil. Evil thing, gun. And I see that we've encouraged our kids to walk out of school to protest what? What were they protesting?
I don't know. You know.
I'm not sure, but I know this, that if we don't walk out of school on Constitution Day, I'm going to have a fit. I'm going to have a fit. I'm telling you right now.
Then I got to walk out on Constitution Day.
Why not? Yeah. Why not? Well, if you can't, you want to protest something, protest the egregious usurpation of our constitutional rights. Egregious. And all these gun rallies. My favorite video was from a Minnesota high school. The kid came out with the sign that said, guns don't kill people, people kill people. And the principal, on video, cornered him. What are you doing? You can't have that sign. Why not? Free speech. No, no, this is an anti-gun rally. Go. You can't have, get off. Go sit in the
it's
car.
It's not an anti-people rally.
No, no.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So it just shows the mindset. And if our teachers and our elected officials do not respect our constitutional right, and if we're going to encourage people to, in fact, protest what's included in the Constitution, then where does that stop? If you know, that's the official. Now you're not talking about, hey, did you protest the Vietnam War?
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who did.
Yeah.
And you knew when you went out there that you might get your head cracked. You might get arrested.
Well, I had some friends in Chicago that got their tooth knocked out.
Yeah, well, exactly.
At the Chicago convention.
Yeah, that was that was civil disobedience. Even Martin Luther King, you know, his people witnessed tremendous violence to put them back in line because they were out of line. It's not quite the same thing when your teacher's saying, okay, today's a day of protest. Everyone put your books down, and we're going to have guards and school buses take you to the protest site. Come on, folks. Do you think this is okay? I don't think it's okay. What are we teaching our kids? You just don't have to follow the rules. And now we're, of course, doing it with sanctuary cities. I love it. The theory of nullification, first put forth by John C. Calhoun in 1839.
Yeah, John.
Right? And now, oh, well, the state law says we can't share our information with ICE. Really? Or we're going to outlaw marijuana in this town, even though the state made it legal. You cannot. You can't do it, folks. So make up your mind to which side you're on here. You're either pro-Constitution or you're not. You want to change it. Well, there's a process for amending the Constitution. And to all you anti-gun folks, I doubt many are listening, but if you are, get out there.
We lost them all.
Yeah. Get out there and get your petition signed. Repeal the Second Amendment. That's all. You think you can do that? Then go for it. Your political right is, you're well within your rights to do something like that.
Boy, man, we're getting thunder and rain here, so I hope things stay solid. If they don't, we'll keep going. We'll even talk about it. A recent decision by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit upheld Senate Bill 4 in Texas that requires all local police agencies in the state to honor immigration detainers issued by the U.S. Immigration Custom Enforcement. Forbid cities, countries, and local agencies from enacting or imposing non-cooperation or sanctuary policies. Well,
I love
go.
It. That's
there you
how,
go.
That's how it's supposed
state
to
State of Texas. The great state of Texas.
Yes, of course. Uh-huh. Yeah. Border state, right?
Well, yeah, you think? Of course, you can go to California and, you know, they're
it's
just
quite the opposite.
I don't know what they do. Well, you know what's happening in the lampshade world? Check this out. SEC is going to allow lampshade and Bitcoin exchange traded funds.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think this is going to do to the crypto world? So tell folks what an exchange traded fund is.
Well, it's essentially a mutual fund. So the mutual fund will hold all of the lampshades, and then you'll buy shares in the mutual fund. And this way, your profits and loss will be tracked, and your knowledge and your identity will also be tracked, just like it is on every other exchange. So the legitimization, oh, if Bitcoin is so good, okay, well, then let's take away the anonymity factor and see how much you love it then.
Oh, I see. So this is not necessarily a positive thing for cryptos, in your opinion, because
cryptos... It opens the door to the regulators, which is what the boys wanted, the crypto guys wanted to see kept out. I mean, that was one of the appeals of a cryptocurrency, was that it was, there's no central government authority, no government interference, strictly peer-to-peer.
Mm-hmm.
And the government just said, we'll see about that.
Yeah, we're going to have a fellow on next week, Andrew, that is a blockchain expert.
Oh,
so I'm kind of looking forward to that and really digging in, try to understand, because it's your...
An open ledger.
Yeah, your contention that the blockchain thing is really...
Oh, yeah.
It's here
Very
to
good.
Stay, right? It's
oh,
here
yeah.
to stay,
yeah.
here to stay.
Yep, yep.
But it's different from cryptos. People are kind of putting those together.
Well, cryptos in many cases are linked to the blockchain, right? In their how many are going to be issued, et cetera, and what keeps them secure and so forth. So that blockchain technology is very important, not just to money, but to medical records, driving records, titles to cars, deeds to houses. You know, that's where it's really going to make its self known.
Let's see. Whoops, that's not it. Hello? Try back. People said, somebody just emailed in, please turn the rain sound on. It's going off and on. Well, it goes off and on, my dearest, because my microphone goes off and on because it's raining. It's not rain sound. This is not special effects. This is...
Yes, it is.
Come real on. Rain that's coming down.
Provided by nature.
Provided by God. And boy, do we need it. I want to find this because there was somebody that was really... really not happy with you. And
oh, goodness, just one?
Well, I'll find it. It was about cryptos. And let me paraphrase while I'm trying to find it. The idea was that they thought we, and I was in there too, were being disrespectful to the crypto world and the people that like cryptos because we make fun of it and call them lampshades and stuff like that. So...
I have no respect for cryptocurrency. Are you kidding? I have no respect for paper money. I'm a hard money advocate. What would you expect from me? I'm only going to talk about the good factors of gold and silver coins and the bad ones of everything else. So I put paper money in the same category as the cryptos. I have no respect for either. Money is what the Constitution says it is. And crypto guys are going off script, aren't they? No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debt. Last time I checked, Bitcoin was not a coin at all. It was, in fact, some electronic representation of value which has no substance. It's the same exact nonsense as paper money. Only now, it's digital. Great. We're getting worse, not better, folks. So, yes, I'm sorry. The truth of the matter is, I have absolutely no respect for cryptocurrencies or paper money. And I'm almost going to throw checking accounts into the same category. Hard money is what I believe in. Gold and silver coin of known weights and values minted by the Treasury of the United States. Everything else is something else. It's not money.
Lampshades.
Yeah.
Or whatever you want
yeah.
to call it.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some, you know, it's really funny what's going on. I wonder what this is on. It seems like, though, the boys continue to, in some sense, almost embrace this, Andrew. But
of course.
But not.
They want to control
it. They want to control it.
So the very things that the crypto folks... don't want, that libertarian view of peer-to-peer transactions, coin units, tokens, I think they call them,
yeah.
that are created by some force other than a centralized banking authority that is democratic, if you will. In other words, you're just as likely to create a Bitcoin as I am. And there's no one individual source controlling the issue. Of course, I've disputed that. And nice sound effect, Patrick.
Oh, man. That's
really
good.
That's
sound effects by God, by the way. A Dutch court classified Bitcoin as a transferable value after the court ruled in favor of a plaintiff who is owed 0.591 Bitcoins, according to a court document published a couple days ago. The claim was filed in Dutch court by so-and-so, blah, 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 as a consequence of the company's failure to comply with its obligations to pay the required volume of BTC. The court ordered that the companies either pay up or be declared insolvent. Bitcoin exists, according to the court, from a unique digitally encrypted series of numbers and letters stored on the hard drive of a right holder's computer. It is delivered by sending Bitcoins from one wallet to another. So it stands, Bitcoins are stand-alone value files. Wow. Mm-hmm. Stand-alone value files.
That's correct.
Well, the court's view, thus, the characteristics of a property right, the claim. So this isn't really saying anything except you owe the guy the money.
Well, yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Let's think back to our dollar argument.
Okay.
What was the problem with your dollar? You didn't know what a gallon was.
No.
You didn't know what a dollar was. And the same thing is true of a Bitcoin. So if someone owed him 5.59 Bitcoin and refused to pay 0.59 Bitcoin, why, then he's got a claim. He has a claim as anyone else does.
Just like if you owe me two cows.
Yeah, only, you know, what size cow? What, you know, what kind
Well, they've lost a little weight since you bought them. All right, one of them.
The old Daniel Drew watering the stock. The watering of the stock was Daniel Drew would run his cows into New York City, feeding them salt lick all the way.
Yeah, oh, really?
And then just before they got into the city, he would let them stop at a pond and just...
Oh, yes. Really?
Water that stock.
I had never heard that before.
Well, now you know.
So they gave him salt.
And then he
made them drink water. Well, they wanted to drink water.
Yeah.
And they weighed like a lot more than what they really weighed. And
of course.
And then they were
And they got paid.
And they got paid.
Yeah, he got paid.
They do
Daniel
it now
Drew.
With GMO corn.
Same, of course.
Same thing, right?
Same. They watering the stock. So, Daniel Drew.
That's funny.
In the short market, he said, what was his famous quote was, "He who sells what isn't his'n must pay the price or go to prison."
Dude, that sells what isn't his'n. Yeah.
That's right. He who sells what isn't his'n must pay the price or go to prison. So if you short something and you pay the number, you pay
that's
the
funny.
Pay the difference.
I'd never heard the watering the stock thing.
Yeah, that's how.
Of course, it does go on now. I mean, you can get grass-fed beef, right? If it's just labeled grass-fed beef, you could get that, and you don't know how much GMO corn that they fed it maybe 2 months before or something.
As long as they had grass-fed.
Yeah, but see now then you also have grass fed and grass finished, which is another category, which is the real deal. Mm. So they're not allowed to give them any corn and stuff.
Non-GMO. Well, and if you imagine, well, by the time you get your beef in a supermarket, it is what it is, you know. But when you're selling cows on the hoof, and you're weighing them in total,
you don't know what the guy's
then done. Feeding them salt and letting them drink 100 gallons of water before you weigh them is. That's watering the stock.
Uh-huh. Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, it's the Real World of Money. But for those of you who don't know, Andrew has a coin company. It's called SDL, and they are located in Hawthorne, New Jersey, and also Hilton Head.
That's right.
Hilton Head. Been at it for 35 years or so? Something?
It'll be a week next Tuesday.
It'll be a week next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So talk to folks who have never bought a numismatic coin.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I know you do. So let's do it here on the radio. And how you could help somebody get in there, even if they only had a little bit of money every month to play with.
That's all about percentage terms, folks. So if you follow a financial planner's advice that says 10% of your investment portfolio should be in inflation-type hedges. And if you want to go a little farther, because historically these inflation-type hedges have been hedge funds or funds that buy gold, and then you get a share of that fund. If you want to take it right to the source, which is a gold and silver coin minted by the Treasury in your physical possession, it just checks off so many boxes of what you need for insurance and financial protection. So it's all about percentages. If you have a portfolio that's $1,000, then $100 should be in coins. And if you have a portfolio that's $10 million, you should have $1 million worth of coins. That's following the most basic 10% rule. For me, I have 85% of my money in gold and silver coins, and I'm very comfortable. That's, to me, the ideal situation, but I'm a nut. So somewhere in the middle might be where you fall. But one thing is for certain, you should not have zero. This is what really startles me, is the percentage of people in this country that actually have physical wealth. Not many. And that's really where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. In the event of a total crisis, a financial crisis, well, you've already seen in our short decade what's happened, what happens to the price of gold and silver, and by extension, gold and silver coins, when that price, when that uncertainty exists. In 2011, I think gold peaked at $1,900. $20 gold pieces were in the mid-2000 range. They've all settled back down. Now's the time to buy, not when the crisis is upon you. Add to your portfolio, cost average, and you'll be much better off than if you don't.
Mm-hmm. So, but if you just don't have a great deal of money to spend every month, how do you get in if these, some of these like more popular coins, like a St. Gaudens $20 gold piece, which is very popular, but if they're a couple grand, how do you do that?
Well, what I tell people is if you're going to invest $200 a month, then take a credit card and spend $2,000 and pay it off at the rate of $200 a month.
Oh, I see. Okay.
See, use credit as a debt as a blessing and not as a curse. So if that's
that
your... Yeah, it works fine for us. And we certainly think you get, you know, rather than buy one $5 gold piece, which is a quarter ounce gold piece every month.
Yeah.
Now, you use your credit card and you buy a $20 gold piece, which you get four times as much gold, and usually it's a cheaper price. So one $20 gold piece generally will cost you less than four $5 gold pieces. So take advantage of that access to credit. Use credit, debt, as a blessing, not as a curse. And, you know, people say, oh, well, gosh, I don't want to buy anything on debt. Well, I understand, but if you get into a jam and you can't pay this, you can always sell your coin and pay it. So it's not like
you're... Oh, I see. You could always sell
like
it back if you...
Yeah, it's not like you're buying a couch where, you know...
Yeah, you can't get rid of
it. Yeah, that's it. You own it. You got to pay for it.
That's pretty interesting. But what are the rates? Because I don't even do that. What are the rates for credit cards these days? I don't even...
Depends
know.
On how good your credit is.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. What's the average kind of...
I've rate? Seen them from 8 to 18.
They're not lower than 8, though.
I think some are. There are a few that are. You really have to shop around. And naturally, if you find that you're exercising your credit muscles, then, yeah, you'll gravitate to the lower rates. But generally, these cards don't come with any of the bonuses or the perks. I remember I used to have a client that bought $20 gold pieces every month and insisted on paying for him with his Sky Miles card.
Miles,
yeah,
right? Yeah,
so he got his miles out of it. And then at the end of the year, he ended up taking the wife on a trip from the purchases that he made. It's gotten a lot more strict now, cost of money being what it is. But you can find low rates without all the bells and whistles, or you can get all the bells and whistles and slightly higher rates. Depends on your behavior.
Ooh. Hear that pop? That was scary, yeah.
Scary pop.
Well, we got a lot. I actually turned off all the equipment last night, man. We had some lightning coming through, like, sorry, I unplugged everything last night, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, but, so, I kind of lost my train of thought here. You do okay, though, if you're going to buy, a $20 gold piece for a couple grand, and you're paying 8% interest, that works out?
Oh, sure.
It works out.
Yeah, it works out.
Okay.
I mean, just on the difference alone, you get a better price, obviously. And you're going to spend the money anyway. So I don't recommend doing it without a plan on how you're going to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you know you're going to spend a couple hundred bucks a month, why then it doesn't hurt you to use your credit card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or even a couple thousand a month. I mean, it's all about percentages.
Yeah.
So,
if somebody would like to talk to you about this or some of your people, how do they do that?
It's easy. 800 468 2646. Tell them you heard it on One Radio Network. Get an education. Learn how it works. And I'll tell you, from the time that I started in this market until now, it's become so easy for a novice investor to get involved. You have independent grading, so you don't have to trust the dealer to grade the coin. You have a guidebook of United States coins that gives you how many were minted and what the approximate yearly value of a coin might be. You have online NGC price guide, ngccoin.com, where you can check out what the marketplace values the coin at. These things, and you take physical possession. So when you combine all these things together, you don't have to be a numismatist or understand the coin market in detail, as long as you make sure you get your coin independently graded. You buy a coin that has a limited supply, a fixed supply, and you take physical possession of your coins. You've kind of eliminated the majority of the ways in which you can be taken advantage of.
Mm-hmm. And Andrew's phone number up there is 800-468-2646, right? 800-468-2646. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. It's the Real World of Money. Don't forget, all the archives are loaded up with Andrew's shows since we've been here, which is 10 years now. So you can just get yourself a real education, get an MBA.
Historically, Fresh Liquid Way's therapeutic success boasts an impressive track record helping people with liver insufficiency, hepatitis, gallstones, kidney infections, kidney stones, edema, intestinal fermentation, flatulence, constipation, indigestion, bloating, arthritis, gout, high cholesterol, and high blood pressure. Way is also very effective against excess weight, acne, eczema, and for improving general health and well-being. Whey protein powders typically fail to produce these historically impressive results. We believe this is due to the poor diet of the cows and the way it is processed into a powder. One World Whey is the exception. The cows are grass-fed, and the whey is uniquely processed to preserve the protein and amino acids in their correct shapes. One World Whey is also encoded with frequencies that we believe awakens your cells to produce optimal levels of glutathione, protein, and energy. Click on the One World Whey banner ad right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. That's OneRadioNetwork.com.
If you like to invest in your health, we like to look at it that way, because it really is. If you're getting the good thing, it would be... Now, you know, if you're just going to buy stuff off the shelf and you don't know who makes it or why they make it or how they make it or any of that stuff, you know, we don't recommend that. And that's why our trademark is Know the Source. And we work with people like Daniel Vitalis and Stephen with his The Way and the Rebounder people, and Phil with the sauna, good stuff. And then also Brandon Amelani with Shen Blossom. And he has some wonderful products there. You've heard of... the benefits of turmeric and anti-inflammatory. He has a product called Mend, which is a turmeric formula for pain and cellular repair. And if you look at just on the Mend thing, check this out. I mean, this is what's so fun. If you look at the ingredients, check it out. Turmeric root, ginger root, and all these Chinese herbs. And they have this whole classic kind of Chinese formula. All these things I can't even not pronounce. But it is for pain, detoxification, cellular health, digestion, and it's called Mend. And look at the ingredients on these things. Wow. Really, really interesting products. God love them. Premium grade ginseng. You've heard us talk about that. They have the Adapt Medicinal Mushroom Formula. Medicinal mushrooms are the bomb when it comes to memory, focus, immunity, decrease in stress. Let's see if I can see the ingredient label on that guy. Check this out, okay? A proprietary formula contained the blend of 16 medicinal mushrooms, wild cordyceps, wild red reishi, maitake, snow fungus, I want some of that, mitosaki mushroom, agarius blasi, shaga, and more. Other ingredients include astragalus, private reserve, mature wild ginseng, traditionally cured and processed, schizandra, handmade fermented sake. Wow, now check, come on, you know, forget about it, you know. This is the Adapt formula. So check out Shen Blossom's website right on the front page. And if you're going to spend a little money on some cool stuff that you can play with, this is the way to go. And you know you're getting, you know, it only costs a little more to go first class, folks, right?
From the Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well. It is The Real World of Money, as the lady said, with Andrew Goss, currency historian, 28 March 2018. And this is OneRadioNetwork.com. Let's see. Last week, Andrew Goss said that you are still better off storing your wealth in coins, even if the coin prices stays the same. Let's say I buy a $10,000 coin and I sell it 10 years for the same $10,000. How is this a good storage for my money? What am I missing here? From Mark. Okay.
And no loss, Mark. The rest of the markets are fraught with peril. So that's it. No loss.
No, let's see.
So if you could just stay even while everyone else is losing the bulk of their wealth, then that puts you ahead of the game.
Oh, see, just because of inflation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, stay even when everyone else is losing their shirts. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the better off. You're better off than if you lost money, I guess that's the best way to put
sure,
it.
Sure. Yeah, coin prices stay the same. But the collectible value, does it always go up or not?
Not always.
No. Just depends on supply and demand, who wants them and all of that.
It's
stuff.
A pure supply and demand market, yeah. Unlike others. Mm-hmm. So today I have an 1849 Charlotte gold dollar.
Charlotte?
Yeah, from the Charlotte Mint.
We love
First
Charlotte.
Year it was made. First year the gold dollar was made. So it's got a lot of pluses ticking it off. And there's only 35 coins graded. 35. So out of a very low mintage, that's a coin that has great reason, fundamental reason to increase in value. So for me, I feel better holding coins, even if they don't appreciate, than I would holding a stock that trades at 150 times its earnings, which could conceivably go back to 15 times its earnings, which would make it worth 10% of what I put in. So that's what I meant. Forgive me if I confused you on that.
That's right. Larry in Austin writes to Andrew Goss on this March 28 morning, and you can join us at patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I have heard that Basel III is requiring all countries to have a gold-backed currency.
Mm.
Is that true?
Not entirely.
If so, who would be the first country to do this? Thanks for the show. Basel III.
Yeah, well, of course, financial regulation can change at any time. That's what they do. But essentially what Basel III allows is a Tier 1 asset, gold, to be counted as, whereas in the past it wasn't. Now it will be treated as a Tier 1 asset, the equivalent of cash.
Oh, so before Basel III, it wasn't.
It wasn't, correct.
So if you had gold or a central bank had gold, it was just whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's treated as cash.
As cash, yeah.
So what does that do?
So let's say that Basel III allows a country to have a gold-backed currency, is basically the way I would put it. And who would I see being the first to do this? Well, one of the weaker countries, certainly not the United States. But perhaps China or Venezuela. Who knows who will be the first, right?
So that's.
But they try to give their currency more credence by backing it with gold, which seems like what we all go to when things get dicey. And, as Henry Paulson said, you don't know who doesn't have a bathing suit until the water goes out, the tide recedes. So it is that thinking that causes people to question the credibility of a currency like a Chinese currency, where the central bank is owned by the government and they can simply create as much currency as they want. And the classic example is once again Zimbabwe, where they just kept printing money to pay for the things they needed until the money was debauched, had no value.
Debauched. So that's where the gold thing came up, that people misinterpreted it.
Yeah.
Basel III said you can now.
Allows it.
It just allows it. No mandate. Mm-hmm. It allows it, and they said that you can use Tier 1 assets, which is gold?
Yeah.
What's another Tier 1 asset?
Well, a treasury bond, cash. Mm-hmm. A Tier 1 asset would be...
Okay.
It can't be a home mortgage. It can't be a loan to a corporation. That's what your balance sheet shows as Tier 1 capital, which is the safest capital in a bank. Right, it is the most secure.
I see. So it allows it. Allows it.
Doesn't mandate it.
And why would they do that? And who writes Basel III? Is that like IMF and the boys?
Yeah, they all get together.
And why would they do that?
Well, because these weaker countries need some way to make it into the marketplace with their currency. And I think a lot of them...
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you know, China's part of the IMF now.
Yeah, yeah.
So we need some sort of credence and credibility with these currency units. Otherwise, then you're all going to have to go to one currency unit. We'll know that one is secure.
Yeah, but no country really has enough gold to do anything.
That's right.
Do they?
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Yeah, they just don't.
And it requires real discipline. You know, you think about it. If you're issuing currency relative to how much gold you have, well, boy, you have to keep your house in order. You can't stray too far off the path because it's that asset where you have to pay for up front and it's secure. You know, there's no counterparty risk. So you can't multiply the gold. It is what it is. You can't double it or triple it as you can with a fractional reserve banking.
Yeah. President Trump... talked about the gold-backed currency a couple years ago because he kind of promoted the idea, but he said, let me see if I can find it here. He actually said, I don't think we have enough gold to do that because I don't know how much gold we have. And he was kind of alluding to this idea that you talked about, and we don't really know.
Right.
You know, we don't really know. Right?
No, you don't. All you have is the accounting of those that are in charge of keeping it. The Fort Knox gold, I think the last time any elected official saw what was in Fort Knox was in 1974. So where are we now? It's like 35 years later. We still don't know what was there.